Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 33. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 33. Now, in this particular passage, you're going to be studying something today that might come as a real shock to you. You're going to see a side of God that you may never have seen before. We'll title this, and it's not original with us, but we'll title this, The Laughter of God. The Laughter of God. Like I said, you're fixing to see a side of God you can't even imagine. All right, let's read the passage, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Did you see that? God said, because you refused, you've set at naught my counsel, with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproof, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, like I said, this is a side of God that you cannot even imagine. I mean, through his wisdom here in the Bible and other things that we talked about yesterday, he gives reproof. And then at his reproof, you turn a deaf ear. And then all hell breaks loose and he just laughs when you come crying. That's what verses 26 to 28 are all about. He said, I gave you a chance, I gave you reproof, I tried to turn you, I tried to help you to understand, I tried to show you the consequences. All you did was laugh, you hated knowledge, you didn't want the reproof, you didn't want my counsel. I mean, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Well, then when your fear cometh, I'm going to laugh, I'm going to mock, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. You're going to call me, I'm not going to answer, you're going to seek me early, they're not going to find me. That is hard to believe that a loving God would just laugh at someone like that, but he will. He will, and let me tell you something. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. Listen, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26, 7, and 8, you don't have to go to Hebrew to find out whether or not it is interpreted correctly by the King James translators. This stuff is corroborated to cross-referenced by other verses of Scripture in the Bible. Look in Psalm chapter 2. It's been a long time ago since we studied Psalm chapter 2. Let's read the first five verses and notice again, you're going to find God laughing at people in trouble. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth shut themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Look at that. The kings rage. They gather together. They try to break the bands asunder and they take away the cords. And the Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. There's God laughing again. Look at it again in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, just verses 12 and 13. Psalm 37, verses 12 and 13. Notice this. It's a shock if you're not used to this, if you haven't seen it. It comes as a total surprise. Psalm 37, verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. All right, so what's the Lord going to do about it? Verse 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Now, three times you find the same thing, the Lord laughing at people that rejected his counsel, that plotted against the just, that would none of his reproof, that gathered themselves together after a vain thing because they didn't want God's control or God's law. They didn't want God's son. God just laughs at them. Now, you know something? The Lord has already done something like this before. And he's done it before, just like he said he would do it in these chapters. And the strange thing is, the oddity is, he did it to his own people. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm serious. The Jews are the chosen people of God. He has not yet fulfilled his covenant that he made with Abraham for them. He hasn't fulfilled his covenant that he made with David for them. He hasn't fulfilled the covenant that comes as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ, not for them, but he will. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 63, that God did something very bad, prophesied that he would do something very bad to his own people, and he actually did it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 63, the Bible says, and this is for turning against the Lord, going into idolatry, disobeying the Lord. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Look at that. The Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, to pluck you off from the land whither thou goest to possess it. It's like God gets pleasure out of it. And then the next verses, and we're not going to read them to the end of the chapter, just talks about them being scattered all over the place. With all that happen, God let that happen to the 10 northern tribes when the Assyrians attacked. God let that happen to the 2 southern tribes when Nebuchadnezzar attacked. And God will let that happen again when the Antichrist attacks. So watch. Yesterday, we learned that wisdom cries in the street, and the greatest source of wisdom is this book right here. And it is available everywhere. Department stores, churches, rescue missions, hotels, tracts, bumper stickers, yard signs, billboards, radio, television, and church. I mean, it is everywhere. Street preachers, personal witnesses, even some faithful churches. Wisdom is crying in the street. God calls out and stretches out his hand with counsel and reproof, and the world just disregards him. So, one of these days, he just leaves them. He leaves them to their own counsel. He leaves them to their own ways. He leaves them to their own devices. He leaves them to their own prosperity, their own simplicity, because they're not going to listen to him. He leaves them to themselves and he leaves them to his coming wrath. Look what he says. They're going to call upon me when there's a whirlwind, when there's destruction, when there's desolation, when there's fear. They're going to call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And they're going to get it. Basically, look at this. Look over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And 12. Now you know, if you know your Bible, that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 has to do with the coming of the Lord and the apostasy of the church, and it has to do with the Antichrist setting up in the temple there on the throne, ruling the world and operating after the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders and deceivableness. Now watch this, verse 11. These people didn't love the truth, so watch what happens. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what God does? He just turns them away. They just become delusional in their hatred of the truth and their hatred of God. God sends them that strong delusion. They're all damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, because God gave them a chance and they just turned away from it. Listen. I realize that in your life, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to be staring at God's laughter, but this world is. For rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, when this world goes into the tribulation, when God's wrath starts coming, for instance, do you think, based upon what you're seeing here, that the folks are going to try to get right with God? No way. And when they turn to Him and start hollering to Him to help them, God won't give them the time of day. He won't. He said He wouldn't. He said, they'll call upon Me, but I will not answer. They shall seek Me early, but they shall not find Me. That's why we encourage folks to get saved today. Listen, I don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. I think it's going to be soon. I think it's going to be in my lifetime. I hope it is. I look for Him to come any day now. Paul looked for Him to come any day now. It might be a while. You may have more time, but let me tell you something. The Lord could come any day now, and if He were to come now and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to go into the tribulation. And brother, it's going to be hard for you to get saved then. Now you simply have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then it's an element of faith and works. It's going to be tough. That's why so many preachers say that men that don't get saved during the church age aren't going to get saved during the tribulation, because it's so difficult, because of the strong delusion. Look what happens. And because here God says they're going to call Me, I'm not going to answer them. They're going to seek Me early. They shall not find Me. I realize, and I've taught it many times before, there are people that get saved during the tribulation. There are many of them. They show up in Revelation chapter 7. They're up there around the throne. They come from every kindred and people and tongues and nations. They're from everywhere. But let me tell you something. There's a slaughterhouse during that tribulation. And there are going to be a lot of people who are going to go right on doing what they were doing. And you know why? Because they're going to start looking for God, and God is going to turn up His nose at them and turn His ears off to them, and they're not going to get an answer. They're going to be just like Saul, who disobeyed God back in the Old Testament. Look back there with me in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 15. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 28 that Saul went to a woman that had a familiar spirit in order to get an answer, to get up Samuel to find out what he was supposed to do about a coming war. And when Saul told Samuel why he went to that familiar spirit, why he went to Samuel and get him up, look what Saul said. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 15. Here's the question, first of all. Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me." Look at that. "God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." God turned him off. God wouldn't listen to him. God wouldn't hear him. God turned a deaf ear. Saul sought him early, couldn't find him. Called upon him, God didn't answer him. And that's what's going to happen. And as a result of that, during the tribulation, because they know that God's wrath is coming down on them for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and not going God's way, they don't even bother to call on God by the time that the Lord Jesus Christ gets ready to come. You know what they do? They talk to the rocks, and indeed they should. They've been worshiping rock idols. But in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15, this doesn't just include poor people. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" They're talking to the mountains. They're talking to the rocks. What are they saying? "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." They're honestly thinking by hiding in a cave that rocks fall over the mouth of, or literally by committing suicide, that they can escape the judgment of God and the wrath of God. Impossible. Impossible. What's wrong with them? Why do they do this? Well, our text tells us why. According to our text, the first reason that these people that God laughs at and won't help are going to get the treatment they're going to get from God is because, first of all, they hated knowledge. And that's very good. Because, listen, and when I say very good, it's not good that they hated knowledge. It's a very good explanation. Because if they hated knowledge, and if knowledge is what it's going to take to get them out of the trouble they're in, then you know what? They're going to be damned anyway, because if they didn't take it from him when it was easy, they're not going to take it from him when it's hard. In other words, knowledge is what it takes, among other things, and they don't want it. They don't want it. They hated knowledge. You know why? I'll tell you why. These guys hated knowledge, are going to hate knowledge, because it makes you look bad. He said, I gave you counsel and I gave you reproof. Reproof, that's what your dad used to do when he bawled you out. And you don't want anybody telling you that you've been out of line with God. You'll justify yourself before you'll listen to the truth of God's words. You'll try to find a way to justify your sin. That's human nature. And when the knowledge of God points out the error of your way and points out your sin, it makes you feel bad. It makes you look bad. And you don't want that. So you hate knowledge. Or somebody does. These guys that God laughs at does, in case you like it. It makes you look bad, and the other reason that men hate knowledge is because it is absolute truth. God doesn't leave any gray area in this stuff. He said, it's black and white. He said, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There it is. That's absolute truth. Your name's not in the book of life, you go into the lake of fire. No gray area. And then he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, there you go. There you go. There's two whosoevers. One of them is saved, the other one gets thrown in the lake of fire. It's absolute. And the Bible is filled with absolute truth. People say, well, I just don't know what to do in this situation. The Bible's not clear on it. You read enough of it, pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is so clear on these things that sometimes it's missed because it's so clear. It's crystal clear. Like you can see right through it, like it's transparent, like it's so obvious you should have known that. I preach sometimes and talk to folks, and I'll tell them, you know what? You don't need anybody to tell you what's right and wrong. You know what's right and wrong. The difficulty comes when you're trying to justify the wrong. Absolute truth tells you absolutely where God stands on everything. He doesn't leave you in the dark. You see, the problem with absolute truth and the problem with reproof is there's no fudge room. And so, these guys hate the knowledge of God. For that they hated knowledge and do not choose the fear of the Lord. That actually, the fear of the Lord is a second thing. The reason that God turns a deaf ear to him, the reason that God laughs at them, is because they didn't want to hear what he had to say about it anyway. Now the trouble starts and they want God like a billfold that they can just pull out of their wallet and flip at the problem and make it go away. God said, I'm not going to be used that way. You didn't hear what I had to say when I wanted you to hear it. Now that you want me to hear what you want to say, I'm not going to listen to you either. Well, that's a terrible place to find yourself with God. Now, the reason that God's just going to laugh at him is because they wouldn't take the knowledge. They hated it. And they wouldn't fear God. They wanted to go their own way. Do their own thing. Look, down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't fear God. Two angels of the Lord went down into Sodom to pronounce to Lot and his family the coming devastation. There was already prayer meeting on with God. Abraham had already negotiated on behalf of that city. He said, if you'll find 10 righteous people down there, will you not destroy that city? And God said, yeah, if there are 10 righteous down there, I will not destroy it. I mean, the thing had already been covered in prayer. God went down there, the two angels did, they talked a lot. What happened? These men of God showed up, these angels of God showed up down there, and what happened? The homosexuals in town decided they wanted to know those men. They wanted to have sexual relations with them. And they had enough wisdom from God to know that what they wanted to do to those men was wrong. But it was the age, it was the style, it was the condition of the city. It's what they did. Even Lot lived with it and accepted it until the angels came and said, that's it, pal, it's over, it's fire, it's brimstone, we're going to destroy this place. Get out of here and go to the mountains. And if you've got any family here besides your wife and these two daughters that are with you, we suggest you go now and tell them what's fixing to happen so they can get out of there. Okay. So Lot goes down there to talk to his sons-in-law. That means he had at least two other daughters. And his sons-in-law thought that Lot was mocking them when he came in there and told them, God's fixing to blow this place up for what we're doing down here. Let's get out. In other words, they thought it was a false charge. They thought it was a scare tactic. They thought he was mocking them. And they said, what? The Bible doesn't say what they said, but basically, get lost, pal. And so Lot goes out of town with his wife, his two daughters, and those sons-in-law, and their wives, the daughters of Lot and his wife, died in that fire. What? No fear of God. Don't you know, Lot could have said, don't you know that what's going on here is wrong and God's had enough of it and he's about to destroy this place as a result? And they said, get out of here, old man. Get out of here. We don't fear God. And they died. And they started that fire and they started crying out to God. God didn't listen to that. Just laughed at them. You're so stupid. Another reason that God will laugh at them is that they won't turn it as reproof. The Bible says in verse 30 of Proverbs chapter 1, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Listen, when the Bible, I'm going to tell you this, man, you got to get this. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In other words, when you go to church and say, I don't like that preacher talking to me like that, that is the way of life. Listen, you go in the military, there's going to be somebody jumping you out from time to time about the way you're conducting yourself. You go to work in a business and they're going to give you the strengths and they're going to give you the weaknesses. They're going to show you the stuff that you do well and they're going to show you the stuff that you don't do so well so that you can improve. It's a reproof. And let me tell you something from personal experience. Years ago when the Bible reproved me for my wicked living, I look back on that now as one of the greatest days in my life. It's unforgettable to me. I'll forget a lot of things before I forget that night that God and I had it out in September of 1986. I'm so thankful for that day. And I'll tell you why I'm so thankful for that day, because it's good to be on God's side. Amen. I was going in a direction that would have caused me to live a life of vanity that was absolutely a total waste as far as God is concerned. And if it hadn't been for the reproof of God to turn me, if I was still alive, it'd just be a total waste. And I didn't want a wasted life. And I look back on that and I'm so thankful for the reproof of the words of God. But you know what the problem is with these folks here? In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30, when God gave them the counsel, they just despised his reproof. They said, shut up. We don't want to hear that nonsense. And that's what, I'll tell you what, man, that's the thing that caused God to laugh. Listen, he said, I gave you my fear, you wouldn't fear me. I gave you my knowledge, you wouldn't listen. I gave you reproof, you just turned it away. All right, then, he said, if that's the way you want it, I'm just going to, ha, 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 ha. I'm just going to laugh when your calamity comes. When you start hollering for me to help you, I'm not even going to listen. It's going to laugh at you. You say, man, what gets somebody into trouble like that? What causes them to get into this trouble? Their ways in verse 31. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Their ways and devices. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are high, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. That's the trouble with them. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. That's the way it is with men. We've got a political system now that's corrupted because of these great political contributions and these lobbying systems that we have. The men with the big bucks and the men with the lobbies are the ones that get the ear of the politicians. And you and I down here, we don't count. They want our vote, but after that, it's over. That's a wrong way because it breeds corruption and the thing's gone corrupt. It's not like God would have set it up. Their ways get them into trouble. What else gets them into trouble? Their simplicity. Their simplicity, verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. What is that, basically? I mean, if you want to make it easy, I'll tell you what it is. That simplicity today is convenience. It's convenience. It's just the easy way. That's what gets men in trouble with God. They go the convenient way. Listen, it is very easy to get saved. I mean, so easy. All you got to do is bow to your knees and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll be saved. That is a tremendously easy thing. But the commitment to live for God after you get saved is not convenient. It's a narrow way to live right. It's a hard way, except that you've got the power of the Holy Spirit to help you do it. But But a man that's simple will just go right on and say, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. I don't know. I remember distinctly an old man named Heath that I used to witness 2 years ago. I suppose he's dead by now. Kind of a simple man. I don't know. Man, when the feeling hits me, I guess I'll get right with God, you know. And I said, nowhere in the Bible does it suggest to you that it has to feel like anything. You've got the knowledge. Yeah, I know, but I'm just waiting on it when I feel it. Man, I'm telling you, boy, I pray that guy finally came around and got saved. What else gets them in trouble? Their prosperity. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, verse 32 says. Listen, when God let the Jews go into the land of Canaan, he warned them about something concerning their prosperity. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, he warned them. He warned them. He said, you're going to get into houses you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant and olive yards and vine and olive trees you didn't plant. And I mean, you're going to get full. And then he says in Deuteronomy 6:12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. He said, you better beware lest you forget. Why? Because the Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked should be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God, forget him. People got so rich in our country now that they're not thinking about God anymore. They want to get him out of everything. Let me tell you something. You know what? The United States of America is trying to forget God now. There's all kinds of rulings about getting him out of the Pledge of Allegiance and getting him out of the schools and getting him out of the courtrooms. Everybody wants to get rid of God. God got us here. Now we don't want anything to do with him anymore. I do, but I mean the country as a whole. The prosperity, the simplicity, the ways. That's what gets a man in trouble with God. So what are you supposed to do? Well, verse 33 is the answer. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So do that. Hearken to the Lord, dwell safely, and be quiet from fear of evil. Why? Because it's summarized like this. He who laughs last laughs best. You've heard it. And that's what it's all about. They're laughing at him right now. They're scoffing at him right now. But he who laughs last, laughs best. Don't you forget it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.